First of all, find the book of, you would, of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 9, and put some kind of a marker in Matthew chapter 9, and then turn back to Job chapter 11, Job chapter 11. One thing as I'm entering this new year here, as I really am, I am tapping into the prophetic word that came out last year that says God is releasing more of the supernatural upon the body of Christ, because the 40 years of the curse of abortion is being broken off this nation that's holding back miracles and healings and signs and wonders and the supernatural. But also one supernatural thing that God does is God speaks to us. That is a supernatural act of God. Amen. And I'm really sensing, I'm hearing God's voice clearer now than I even did, I believe, a few months ago. I'm really excited also here about this 24/7 prayer initiative happening this coming Thursday for us. There's churches right across Austin. They've taken one day of January, 1st through 31st, to pray 24/7 to saturate this city in prayer, because the pastors here believe that God has revival and God has greater harvest in store for Austin than they've ever seen in times past. And God wants us to agree with Him that that's what God wants to do in this city. Amen. And so I'm also declaring that starting the 9th of January, I begin my annual 10-day fast. I'll be just having water and juice only for 10 days. And then beyond that, sometimes I go into what I call a Daniel fast. And then I go into what I call, I guess it's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb feast, okay, at the end of all of that. And so I kind of go backwards in January. I don't almost ever start out just kind of on January the 1st or 2nd, just breaking loose on fasting and just doing all kinds of spiritual resolutions, like Cheryl was saying herself. I kind of start out there. We go on vacation most years till about the 2nd or 3rd or so of January. Then I kind of build up momentum until January 31st comes. I've actually been fasting, praying, seeking God, and saying, now, God, posture us for this to be a great year of harvest and great year of increase in many ways. So I encourage you guys again to try and, on January the 9th, this week on Thursday, try to fast one meal at least that day. And just use that time to pray, to seek God's face, and say, God, do a greater work inside of me that I may do a greater work outside the world around me by your grace and by your spirit. Amen. This series that starts today is called The Path to Peace. The Path to Peace. I'm going to be focusing on the next few weeks here about being healed without having scars. I didn't want to call this healed with no scars. I wanted to call this The Path to Peace, because what happens is, when there's no scars in our soul, in our minds from our past, we're going to find ourselves walking in the peace of God. So this morning's message here is called According to Your Faith. And I'm laying here a foundation for the future, for the next several weeks beyond this again, talking about specific things here, how God will heal us without scars and give us a path of peace to walk on. Because in that path of peace, God then gives us abilities to bear more fruit, to become more like Jesus is. You're going to find that one of the attributes of what God, of what Christ himself was like, was Jesus Christ was a man and a God of peace. No matter what turmoil was around Jesus, you didn't find him fretting, you didn't find him fearful, you didn't find him getting worried or being shaken by that. He always walked in the peace of his Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has it also in store for you and I today. So as this new year begins today on January the 5th, I want to say there's new treasures that God has locked up inside of us that he wants to unlock and unleash again this year. Amen. There's so many things that God's prepared in advance for all of us to be doing for him that God wants to get us postured there to be able to see some things unlocked in our lives that brings forth even more fruit. Now, it's not just about soul winning and about bearing fruit in ministry. It's also about our character being developed. It's about our minds being renewed. It's about God's strength being perfected inside of us and about us becoming more and more like Jesus Christ is on the face of the earth. My New Year's resolution every single year is the same thing. I want to become more and more like Jesus Christ. I want to hear God's voice. I want to obey God's voice. And I want to let God use me the way that God wants me to in March and April, May, June, July. Every day I'm alive is a day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in every day that God gives in my life on this earth. Amen. And so, next few weeks here are going to be about some keys, some promises, and some principles from God's word to help us walk on the path of peace in Jesus' name. Last week, Cheryl and I had the privilege of being in one of the largest churches in America that's called Saddleback Church with Pastor Rick Warren. And he's starting a series right now about being transformed, that God's taking folks through 50 days of transformation in that church over there. I believe that's what God's desire is across our entire nation, is take us to new realms of faith, new realms of glory, new realms of revelation, and new realms of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ really is. So my prayer is, may God increase our understanding. May God increase the power of His Spirit inside of us. And may God also give us revelation now this morning on having more faith, His faith, working through us in greater measure in Jesus' name. Today is about according to your faith. So in your bulletin, there's a place here now to write down some notes. So try to get hold of a pen or a pencil or get a hold of your iPad and take some notes this morning, please. Write some things down, because I believe the Holy Spirit's going to give you things to research and do homework on beyond this service this Sunday morning, January the 5th. Let's look now in your Bibles, Job chapter 11, starting at verse 13. This is some things that came to me by the power of the Spirit on Friday as I was putting this all together. And so I want you to notice what it says here. We're going to go into more detail from these verses in a moment. It says, this is one of the friends of Job talking to him about why he's in the state he's in right now. And his friend, talking by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, he says, if you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward Him, God, if iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, then surely you could lift up your face without spot, yes, and could be steadfast and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as waters that have passed away. And your life would be brighter than noonday. Though you were dark, it talks about depression, you would be like the morning. You would be secure because there's hope. Yes, you would dig around you. Now notice these words here. Yes, you would dig around you. We're going to spend some time on that in a moment. You would take your rest in safety. You would also lie down, and no one would make you afraid. And yes, many would then court your favor. But the eyes of the wicked, they will fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope is only loss of life. I'm laying a foundation this morning here for a deeper work I believe that God wants to do among us at Tree of Life Church beginning the first part of this year. I believe that God wants to bring people into this congregation that, like I've said time and time again, that are full of spines and stickers and thorns and thistles and all kinds of barbs. And what lets you receive these people in Jesus' name, not in judgmentalism, not in conceit or pride or better than thou attitudes, but saying, I am only a servant of Jesus Christ. I mean, by Christ in me, the hope of glory, come through my life to bless those that God brings in this place or in my path out there this year in greater measure in Jesus' name. Amen. And so it's the foundation now this morning here about how it's going to take faith to actually do what God wants us to do or become what God wants us to become in the year 2014. So I want you to go ahead and write these three take-home points down this morning. And the first one is today, how do we walk in the paths of peace? The first way, number one, is I'm seeing here, we need eyes of faith. We need eyes of faith. It says here again in the book of Job, the very last verse there said, the eyes of the wicked will fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be lost, and all they see is loss of life. God wants our eyes to see things by the realm of the Spirit, not the realms of the natural. If all you do is see what CNN says, what ABC, CBS, and all the broadcasts share to us in bad news and bad projections, you are living by the natural realm only, but not by the power of God's kingdom or by faith. And God said, without faith, it's impossible to please me. Those who come to God must believe that God is, and God rewards people who seek Him diligently. Amen? So number one is we need eyes of faith. Let's read now the New Testament. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, where your finger's at or your bookmark's at. Matthew 9, starting in verse 28. And it says here, when Jesus had come into the house, the blind men, two blind men, they came to Him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said back to Him, yes, Lord. Then He touched their eyes and He said, according to your faith. Let's say it all together, those words. According to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them and said, see that no one knows it, or you don't broadcast this thing abroad. I told you guys here about 2 weeks ago, our little dog in the house who had gone limp was actually whining and crying, could not jump up on the couch, so forth and so on, because his little legs were out of joint somehow, some way. And I just felt led to take the dog in my hands and just pray a simple prayer of faith and say, I just right now command these legs to be healed, these joints to be healed, and I command the pain to go in Jesus' name. And the very next morning, the dog was totally healed, totally transformed, walking normal, no longer whining there. And it showed me again a thing there was, that dog has no faith in what God can do whatsoever. All that dog has faith for is for dog bones and a warm bed and a place to go to the bathroom and a good backyard and a good place to walk with his leash. It's all the dog has faith for. Amen. We're going to give him water and food and pet him and hold him and make our whole world revolve around him. That's what our dog has faith for, okay? This dog, though, was healed by the power of God. And what Christ is saying here is, with us as human vessels, though, God holds a higher standard to us. According to your faith, may it be done unto you. What I sense what God is saying by these verses here to you and I is, there are things we can do to see faith increase in our lives, to receive more of what God wants to do in us and through us on a daily and yearly basis, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I believe myself, I want to receive more of God's faith in my life. I hope you guys also say, I want to receive more of God's faith in my life also. And I want to see God do greater things in me and through me this year than I've ever seen take place by the power of His Spirit. Amen? It's God's desire that He do the impossible among us so that things that are unseen become things that are seen. I want to say again, the supernatural realm around us is more real than the temporal natural things you see right now with your eyes and your five senses are laying hold of. Because this body, the Bible says, this world in its present form is passing away, but God's kingdom endures forever and ever and evermore. The elements, the Bible says, will burn up with fire. All things will be laid bare at the coming of Jesus Christ for a new heavens and a new earth that is God's order forever and ever and evermore. But God's desire right now is His kingdom come and His will be done on this earth as His will is done in heaven. This only happens by faith and not by sight, okay? So moving on here. This is so we can receive God's vision and see ourselves accomplishing things we could never accomplish in the realm of the natural realm. So by faith, I see this year my marriage stronger. Even though you may see right now fights and turmoil, and you might even see people talking about divorce in your household, God says, see your marriage this year as stronger than it's ever been, more healthy, more vibrant, more loving, and more giving than it's ever been before. Amen. Only God can do that. That's a vision God wants us to have this year. See yourself this year, your body being healthy. Though you might right now have pains of arthritis. You may have pains in your back, pains in your joints. You may be coughing and sneezing, having allergies. And by the way, how many folks here have sensed that God's done a healing work in your body right now for cedar fever? How many folks have sensed that this year? Praise God all across the congregation here. And I myself, again, I'm praising God. I came back from California, and they said we're having the highest cedar count we've ever had here for several years. And I'm still seeing in my body, at least, only about 5% of any kind of an effect at all on cedar around me. I get a little bit of itch in the corner of my eyes once in a while, and almost no running nose whatsoever. And so, praise God, God is doing a complete healing in my body and your body as well. And also, I pray to God you're going to take your flu shot, which is called the gospel, amen, and let God do a work in your life, giving you His flu shot. No weapon formed against you prospers this year, but God gives you divine health this year in Jesus' name. So I see my body, though it may not feel like it, I see it healthy, strong, thriving, and functioning in Jesus' name. I also see my body as a temple of God, and I'm going to dedicate this year to be a year I eat less chocolate, I eat less Big Macs, I drink down less Sonic shakes, less Baskin-Robbins ice cream, less Chick-fil-A nuggets, and I see French fries going by the wayside, and I see myself using my body as a temple of God more this year than last year, and somehow, some way, getting on a bicycle, a tennis court, a swimming pool, or even a gymnasium, and seeing God work through me by exercising more and more this year as my body belongs to God. Amen. I see my body healthy, not in la-la land, but in doing things myself I can do to make it better, okay? Next of all, I see my child also serving God more this year than last year. Right now, your child may be cursing, getting drunk, driving crazy, doing crazy things on his iPad or iPhone or computer, but I see my child becoming more and more like Jesus this year by God's Spirit and power. Amen? I'm saying we need to start seeing our children the way that God sees them, not the way the natural realm dictates today, because anything is possible through Christ, who strengthens us and works through us by his grace. And again, it takes perseverance. It takes patience. It takes listening for what God says, for instruction, because we are children. Many variables are there. Sometimes God will give you instructions on when to lay off, when not to speak, when to speak, but who to speak to them, so forth, so on. These are all things we've learned ourselves. Cheryl and I have, raising three kids now. It takes hearing God's voice to raise healthy children. Amen? In spirit, soul, and body. I see this year my needs being met. You might find that there's right now bills out the wazoo. You might find yourself deeply in debt. You might find yourself going backwards at your job, losing overtime, losing raises, bonuses, so forth, so on. All those things cannot be things you focus on. You must see yourself, see needs being met in the spiritual realm this year in Jesus' name. I see myself also this year blessing others. Amen. Even though I think I have need myself that is great and insurmountable, I see myself sowing seed to others around me right in the midst of my need in my life. And also, I see myself trusting God in the midst of a world that's going through more and more chaos every single week and month, it seems like, on the face of the earth. I see myself in safety. I see myself in peace, and I see myself secure this year because God is the author and the finisher of my faith. And what God's begun in me, may God complete that until Jesus Christ comes back. Amen? Back in Job chapter 11, now going back there, it mentions many of the things that keep us from seeing with the eyes of faith. It says here things like, lift up your face without spot. That word spot means sin or blemish. It says, be steadfast and don't fear. The word fear is there. It says, you would also forget your misery. Misery will keep you from God's, from seeing God's vision, God's pictures inside your spiritual man, inside your mind and your soul. It says, though you were dark, dark means depressed, though depression surrounds you. It says also, you would be secure, there'd be hope, and you would have rest, and also you will feel safe. You know, this is called a sanctuary here at Tree of Life Church. You call this room here a sanctuary because this is a place you can come on a Sunday morning and escape all the junk the world has to offer in a dog-eat-dog world, again, wearing milk-bone pants. Amen? God wants you to come in a place like this and be able to praise him, be able to worship him, not be judged by others, not be cut down by others, but be loved by others, be exhorted by others, built up, complimented there, giving forth counsel, giving forth things that make you feel good and actually are good, and make yourself also realize I've been in God's presence in a place called a sanctuary from all the junk the world has to offer on my Monday through Saturday life. Now, we're not here to just kind of survive only. We're here to thrive in Jesus' name. Amen? So coming in here is not about just trying to survive Monday through Saturday only. It's here to get sharpened, get equipped, get built up, get edified, be prophesied to, be ministered to, then go out there totally revved up, saying, I can now take a mountain in Jesus' name because God's put something inside of me I can use and I can take a hold of, and I can see God work through me in greater measure now because of what God's done in me in this place, this sanctuary in Jesus' name. But it says you would be secure. There's a lot of insecurity around us. There'd be hope. There's a lot of hopelessness in this world today. You would have rest. There's restlessness also all around us in the world today. And you would also feel safe. A lot of folks feel very, very unsafe as they walk to their cars, they go to parking garages, go to public bathrooms. There's a sense of being unsafe in the world around us even today. And God says these are all things that will take and diminish your vision that God puts inside of your life, the promises God's loosed inside your spirit. That vision becomes dimmer and dimmer when these things begin to prevail inside your life somehow, some way. Okay, so going back to Job 11, in these verses, there are now some keys also that God gives us to restoring our eyes of faith back once again. Job 11, the first verse we read there says, the middle part, though, first of all, says, yes, you would dig around. When I read those words on Friday, the Spirit of God just jumped inside of my spirit and said, take note of those words, because it says, you shall dig around you. What's that mean? Well, it means go back to the first verse I read there where it says, if you would prepare your heart and you would stretch out your hands toward him, that's what God calls digging around you. Now, how do we do that? We prepare our hearts by saying, Father God, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in this day. I'm going to start my days out reading the Bible, praising God, worshiping the Lord, and spending some time, hopefully, in prayer even to him, preparing my heart for anything God wants to do in my heart throughout this entire day, this week, this month, even this year, in Jesus' name. Then it goes on and says there, and also stretch out your hands towards him. You know, James says to us time and time again on Sunday mornings, let's lift our hands up to God. There's a Hebrew word in the Old Testament. There's actually seven Hebrew words for praise and worship. One word is the word todah. It's not tada, it's todah, okay? T-O-D-A-H. What does todah mean? Todah means to stretch out your hands towards God and thank him for things he has done and things he will do in the future. So God is saying here again, prepare your hearts and then stretch out your arms, your hands toward heaven and say, thank you, God, for things you have done and also things you will do in Jesus' name. We have things to praise God for the past, things to praise God for also for the future, because God's not done yet. Amen. So on Sunday mornings, in praise and worship time, when James says, lift your hands to heaven, you are toe-dawing before God. You are yaw-dawing before God as well. You're saying, Father God, I thank you for all that you've done in the past and all that you will do in the future. Because you're the God of strength, the God of grace, the God of faithfulness. And I praise your name. You're worthy of praise. Amen. Number two, how do we walk on a path of peace? How do we get our vision back once again? How do we restore vision and keep vision? Number two is we need to deal with the vision destroyers, found in Job chapter 11. So we can deal with some of these vision destroyers today to help lay a foundation now for the future messages coming out starting next Sunday as well. Because I believe that God wants to give us healing without scars in our lives and give us more grace to walk in his peace, on a path of peace, to bear more fruit for him. Okay? Let's dig around a bit this morning now. Let's get our hearts prepared this morning also. Let's end this service today with a todah to God, raising our hands to the Lord in a moment here and saying, praise you, Father God, for all you did back in 2013. But that's all gone as water under the bridge now. May 2014 be now a good year. My heart's prepared to receive, O God, things you have in store for me. I lift my hands now, O God, thanking you for things done in advance in faith in Jesus' name. Let's go back now to Job 11. What some of these words, these vision destroyers that God gave us in these verses. The first one is, it says here, lift up your face without spot, without blemish, without sin. Sin diminishes your vision of God. I have found the main destructive thing that sin does inside of us, it allows the devil to lie to you. It allows Satan to bring deception into your mind that God's mean, God's not good, God's not faithful, God doesn't care, and God is distant. Because sin separates us from God's felt presence. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Sin quenches the Holy Spirit. And so that Spirit of God living inside of us becomes kind of covered, becomes kind of quenched, becomes kind of less as far as feelings go because of sin in our lives. But the good news is, though, God gives a remedy for sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, on the screen here as well, says what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, God's word also says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, there's a sin that so easily ensnares us and entangles us. So what God's saying to us is, beware of sin, because it will always entangle you, ensnare you, and hold you fast into a trap, a snare designed by Satan himself. It will always diminish the vision that you have of a good God, a kind God, a loving God, a God who says nothing is impossible through me, who strengthens you. It'll cause that vision to diminish somehow, some way. The next thing here is number two, be steadfast, it says, and do not fear. Fear will also diminish the vision that God wants to place inside of your life about future promises God's given to you, about things he wants to do in you and through you in 2014. And may fear be vanquished from us. What does God's word say about fear? 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. It says this on the screen also. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. As he is, so are we in the world. But you see, fear makes you believe that's not true. But it is true, because God says in his word, as I am, you are in the world. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. The main thing is, if God said it, that settles it. It's true. It's not a lie. Amen. Then it goes on and says this. There is no fear in love, agape love. Perfect agape love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Amen. So God is saying to us today, if you want fear to go, become perfect and receive God's agape perfect love inside of your life. I know in my life, I had a whole lot of fear back in my high school days, early college days. I told the guys in the past, I've been here for years and years, stories about my werewolf dreams, my vampire dreams. I watched a whole lot of junk movies like that and saw Barnabas Collins and I saw Wolfman, all these kind of things here. And I started imagining werewolves outside my windows at night. As time was going by here, the visions I saw about monsters and the dreams I had started causing, I believe, demonic spirits to actually start causing weird noises outside my window. I actually thought I heard cats fighting one night, saying my name in cat language. That's pretty bad. I needed deliverance. Amen. When you start hearing fighting cats saying your name when they're fighting, you got some demonic problems going on. The good news was, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1978, age 20, when the perfect love of God baptized my life from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. All that fear was just gone in one day. No longer there. I didn't care about werewolves, vampires, or fighting cats anymore. All I could sense was God's presence in my bedroom, in my life, in my mind, in my spirit. Perfect love, I promise you, does cast down fear. If you got fear, you got a love problem. If you got a love problem, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, because God is love. And God gives you his spiritual power of love by being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Next it goes on and says, you would also forget your misery. I'm going to spend now more time on the word misery in the future, so I won't spend a lot of time on today. But I want to say to you guys again today, misery, the Bible says, also has torment. The Bible says back in the book of Genesis, I think it's chapter 30, whenever the first son born to Jacob of 12 sons, being the tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Israel and of Jacob, the first son born was born to Leah. And Leah said, I am miserable because I have weak eyes. I'm not loved like my sister Rachel is by Jacob, my husband. And so in my misery, please, oh God, open my womb up. Let me honor my husband and receive respect and love from him by bearing a child in God's name. And so God had mercy on Leah, the Bible says, opened her womb up, and out comes a young man, a baby, whose name is Reuben. Reuben means God has seen my misery. The first step in a Christian's life, being born again, is God sees your misery, God forgives your sin, and God fills you with his Holy Spirit to take misery away from you. Amen? You're going to find that in Reuben's name, and the symbol for that tribe, and for the gemstone in the breast of Aaron for Reuben, you're going to find a thing called the Odom, which is also a name for a garnet. Odom comes from Adam, and the Odom was a blood-red stone that was used by the Israelites to take and seal wax on letters, because wax would not adhere to the Odom stone. It was blood red like the blood of Christ. And the Word of God tells us, I've been sealed into adoption by the blood of Jesus Christ. That first step in a Christian's life is God sees your misery. He brings forth new beginnings. He seals you into adoption as a son of God and says, your misery will no longer be in your life any longer. You are now accepted by God, loved by God, received by God. Rejoice in God's salvation for your life is what God's saying for us. Then also it goes on and says here, though you were dark, though you had depression. Many Christians are taking Prozac and all kinds of medication because they're totally engulfed in darkness and depression from pains and hurts and wounds and scars from their past. I'm praying to God, believing God, in this fasting time in January here, we're going to see depression broken off people's and believers' lives this month, this year, in Jesus' name. Will you agree with me for that? Amen. God doesn't want you to spend one more day in self-pity, in loneliness and despair and darkness. You are called children of light. Live like children of light. It's what God's word says to us, Ephesians chapter 5. Walk in the light, be in the light, live as children of light. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says this. But to you who fear my name, the sun, capital S, of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out, and this is a very, very bad New Year's verse right here. And you shall grow fat. Talks about spiritual fatness. Amen. We need spiritual fatness and body leanness. Amen. In Jesus' name. Like stall fed calves, you've been over there at Freddy's. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Praise God. He says the Son of righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and he's going to cause the light to shine upon your life, that darkness no longer envelops your thoughts, your speech, your attitudes, or your life by God's grace. It also goes on, and the next thing it says here is this. You will have hope, you'll feel secure, you'll be at rest, and you will feel safe. I was asked by a person in California, what's the most dangerous place you and your wife have been at in your travels around the world in missions and so forth? I thought about the time we got charged by an elephant in Tanzania at a game park. I thought about the time I was in the hospital at Dale Children's Hospital, my daughter almost dying from bleeding inside of her own stomach. They couldn't close the wound up. I thought about times where I've been caught in blizzards in Iowa. Thought about times where I've been, she almost drowned in a pool in Wichita, Kansas. All these are dangerous times. I thought about the time I was in Kwamashu Township in South Africa in the scrapping of apartheid when mobs are coming around our cars getting ready to march and burn folks with tires. These are all times where it's not a real good feeling of being safe and secure. But the main thing is, what I can say is, the most dangerous place I've been on the face of the earth is on the face of the earth. Amen? The most dangerous place on the face of the earth is on the face of the earth. It's on I-35. It's in downtown Austin. It's over there in Houston, Texas. It's over there in Tanzania, Africa. It's every place on the earth can be a dangerous place. We live in a fallen world. And that's why God says, may my rest, may my peace, may my security be your portion every day you live on the face of the earth. Because the truth is, in Dell Hospital, at my daughter almost dying, over there in Tanzania with an elephant charging our car, over there getting almost drowned in Kansas, every time I had a dangerous thing take place, God's grace was there every single time, giving me divine peace in the midst of turmoil and unease in my life. Amen? The main thing is, I just need God's Spirit. When dangerous things do take place, that God will be there to see me through for you and for me, as what God's promise is. Psalm 57, verse 1 says this. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wings, I'll make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. One promise God's word gives us that no believer wants to hear about is this promise that says, in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Amen? So praise God that Christ is with us. Last point, number 3, to receive God's vision restored back into our lives, We need to remember the faith space. I gave a message here months and months ago that was called the faith space. Talked about the widow in Zarephath and Elijah the prophet. And I told you guys here that the faith space was a place where Elijah was told by God to leave the brook Cherith, and the ravens would no longer feed him from perhaps Ahab's house, and he would now be fed by a widow woman in Zarephath. And so Elijah goes there by God's obedience, by God's word, and finds the widow woman scraping from the bottom of her barrel, trying to receive the last little bit of food so that her son and herself may starve to death in a famine time and die. And God in his mercy sent him to a widow with a son in desperate need. I told you guys the faith space was that space where the woman was told by Elijah, give me your last bit of meal, give me your last bit of oil, make me a cake with that, and then feed me this meal. This lady here, I'm sure the natural realm, she's saying, listen, you with your great big giant beard, you've got more crumbs in your Duck Dynasty beard than I've got in my entire household. Who are you to want my last little bit of grain and oil for your sustenance in your life? But she somehow, some way, saw him to be a man of God and obeyed what God said through him to her. She scraped the bottom of the barrel, and she walked over to the prophet and gave him the cooked meal, the cooked bread to eat. And the faith space was the walk from Elijah back to her vessel that was supposed to be now empty. That's called the faith space. What God's saying to me this morning is, remember in your vision, getting restored, there will always, always, always be a faith space God gives you between God's promise and God's provision. Some of you guys have received a promise from God about your marriage, about your family, about your finances, about your health, about whatever. And right now you're in a place called the faith space, trying to walk back towards that provision now, hoping God has shown up to fill your vessels also full. The good news about this woman here in Zarephath was, the Bible says, all the vessels she got from her neighbors, borrowed from them, were also filled up. So that now that her needs are now met throughout the entire famine, but also her neighbor's need was also met throughout the entire famine. She skimmed off the top and not the bottom any longer. And what God was saying to you and I back about six, 7 months ago in this message was, God is saying, we want to be transformed from the widow to Elijah by God's grace, by God's power, and by God's Spirit. Not be those that are scraping from the bottom of the barrel all the time, those that are skimming off the top of the barrel, because God's given us so much supply, there's always an abundance for us in our love, in our calmness, in our peace, in our wisdom, in our finances, in our lives. There's always an abundance to skim off the top and not just always scrape the bottom of the barrel all the time. Is this in the Bible? Let's look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. I'll say, yes, this actually is in the Bible. It says here, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Jesus Christ's return to the earth. It says right there, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet, that anointing, before I send Jesus Christ back to the face of the earth. Next, he goes on and says this, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Plural. Notice that. Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Let's go back to that sentence. I want to say it again. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Plural. Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. As I read this verse on Friday, the Holy Spirit said, reminded me that I heard a prophecy over 10 years ago that says, the generation in America who sows into abortion will reap in euthanasia in their old age. We who sowed abortion and passed Roe versus Wade in America will reap in euthanasia in our 90s, in our 80s, in our 100s, unless God relents. What God's Spirit said to me was, that is a prophecy to the wicked, not the righteous. In the last days, I want to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children of God to bless him in children's ministry, in children's camps, in getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, getting healed by God. And folks here that are, again, like the McMurrays and like the Luceros, like the Wassons, so forth and so on, are right now pouring their lives into children in this congregation, their own sons, their own daughters, and also folks that are here. And he goes on and says, then I'll turn the, in due time, I'll turn the children's hearts then towards the fathers. What God was saying to me was, my righteous children that are Christian, godly people will not let the old folks be forsaken in the last days, be euthanized, be killed, be wiped out. They will care for them. No matter what the world goes through in America, the world goes through, America goes through, our children will rise up with the power and grace of Elijah, and they'll make sure our needs are being met until Jesus Christ comes back. Amen? So what God is saying to you and I is don't fear about euthanasia in America for believers, because God says the hearts of godly children will be turned to the fathers in these last days, lest I come and strike the land with a curse. And so I do believe I'm seeing right now reports in Europe. They're already passing laws in the Netherlands about euthanasia more and more and more every single day and week. It's coming more around the horizon. Once the gay agenda has reached full blast and full form and conquered every demon it can conquer, everything it can conquer in this nation, you're going to start seeing a push towards euthanasia upon the nation. I promise that. I can see it in the spiritual realm. Don't be afraid of that. Don't fear that, because God will make sure the righteous will not be forsaken nor their seed begging for bread in the last days. Amen? The promise is right there in God's word. I see it in black and white, and I see it by God's spirit as well. And in closing here this morning, as James comes back to help me out here on the platform, I want to say the miracle of the widow of Zarephath wasn't just that her two vessels were filled up for the remainder of the famine. The miracle was there was a continual flow of food and grain and oil for her and her neighbors and her son until the famine was over in the land. And what God is saying to you and I is he wants that, not just that one-time breakthrough for your life, that one-time check for $10,000, that one-time breakthrough where your kid cries in his bedroom and says, my heart's right with God now. What God wants is a constant, continual flow and supply of ongoing blessings in your life till the famine be broken in Jesus' name. Not one time getting healed the front here and your headache's gone for one day. Your migraines are gone for good, and your body is whole, and arthritis is broken off your body for good in Jesus' name. You find yourself getting better and better and stronger and thriving more and more and more, not just one time, zap, then it kind of all comes back on you once again in the vacuum. God is saying to us, no, the widow's blessing was not just one-time miracle, but a constant flow of supply that was from that day onward in the famine in her life, until that famine was over and God did other things for her life. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning here to pray at the end of the service, the Spirit of God is speaking to us today about the path to peace and a foundation for faith. And what I want to say here also that this morning here is about Elijah and about the widow woman is Elijah did not need the widow woman. The widow woman needed Elijah. Elijah's very name means is Elijah. Eli, God, is with us. Jah, the Lord is my God. Elijah always had faith that God would pull through for him, no matter what he went through in life. The widow woman, though, she'd lost all hope. She was in despair. She was in bottom of the barrel living in her life. What God is saying to you and I this morning is he wants us to be transformed from widow women to Elijahs, by God's grace and by God's power and God's spirit. This morning, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed today to pray in a moment, there's those today that are here that are saying, I am in that faith space right now. I have received God's promise, but I've not yet received God's provision. Others here are saying, I haven't even received God's promise yet. I'm in a place where my vessels are running dry. I have no more oil, no more grain. And I have not even a promise coming to me about supply for the future. The third kind of person this morning is here is those that already are going through a time where God's blessed you and God's releasing to you a continual supply that's already happening in your life. And what God's saying to you folks is keep on praising, keep on rejoicing, and keep on digging around you. Don't take it for granted what God's doing for you right now in this season. Realize God's blessed you to be a blessing. And God's given supply to you to supply to others on an ongoing, continual basis. Do not shrink back. Do not faint. Do not let offenses shut you down in the time of supply, continual blessing for your life. Amen. But those that are here this morning in the faith space, that have received the promise but have not yet received the provision, I want you just to raise your hand right now if you do that. Be honest. Raise your hand right now across the congregation. I've received a promise from God, but I have yet to receive that provision in my life. I want all those guys whose hands are up, just go ahead and stand up right now. Just stand at your seat. Just go ahead and stand up. I want believers that are here of faith to go ahead and find somebody who's standing up. Just lay a hand upon their shoulder, perhaps. Take their hand, perhaps. We're going to pray in a moment here a prayer of agreement that what God has promised, God will perform. But in this faith space that they're in right now today, they will not stumble. They will not give up. They'll not become bitter, angry, or impatient. But they'll realize God is faithful. God is just. God has sent Elijah's spirit to us. And God is saying again, take care of these things in Job chapter 11, first of all, perhaps. Let darkness go. May fear vanquish. May sin be dealt with. May all things make us feel insecure, unsafe, restless, all be gone from us. And may also all depression be broken off our lives. Now, Father God, I praise you right now as you're praying for these people, oh God, who are standing up. We agree together. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. We praise you, God, for the promise you've given, oh Lord, these people. Now, Lord, may that promise, oh God, become yes and amen. May they not stumble, not fall, not give up, not go backwards, and not shrink back. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God. There's going to come forth to them also a spirit of revelation. Let them, oh God, receive a scripture, a word, by your word, by your spirit, that assures them that what you said, you really did say. We bind every lie of Satan right now that tries to discourage them, that tries to deceive them, that tries to rob the seed that's been sown in their minds and their hearts. We forbid you, devil, to steal one seed in the name of Jesus. Every promise of God shall come to pass in Jesus' name. And now, Father God, for the entire congregation right now, we pray together. We say, Father God, take us in the path of peace. According to my faith, may it be done unto me. Lord God, we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. May your word, God, be heard by my ears. Rhema, not just logos. Revelation, illumination, come into my mind, my heart, that I may hear your word, know your word, understand your word, and then stand on your word. And Father, I praise you and thank you, O God. The devil will not take one promise, one treasure from me. He will not abort one plan you have in my life. It will all come to pass in 2014. Every plan you have for me, O God, will come to pass in the name of Jesus. And I'll not be robbed this year anymore, or for the first time, either one. It will not take place in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's right now just do what's called a yoda. Lift our hands up to God right now. Stretch your hands out to God right now. Give him praise and thanks. Father God, we praise you for all that you've done in 2013. We praise you, God, for faithfulness, protection, provision. We praise you, God, for instruction, for a healthy marriage, oh God, for a strong body. Praise you, God, for food and a job, friends, loved ones, children, grandchildren. Praise you, God, for all the good things you've done for us, oh God. Now, Lord, we reach our hands out to you right now and say, we thank you, God, for the future. We declare 2014 shall be a year of destiny. It shall be a year of blessing. It shall be a year of increase. It shall be a year of love, a year of breakthroughs, a year, God, of more than enough in the name of Jesus. A year, oh God, of double portion in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we praise you, God. We thank you, Lord, for promises that are heard, promises that are realized. Faith, oh God, that would increase in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. People, oh God, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. People, God, receiving times of refreshing, revival, softened hearts, unbelief vanishing from our minds and our spirit and our soul. And Father God, I praise you, Lord, this day. We're going to see even a death come to judgmentalism, Phariseeism, religion, pride, arrogance, indifference, apathy, lukewarmness. We praise you, Father God, for fire, for zeal, for hearts, oh God, that are burning with a passion and a love for God. Father, we praise you and thank you, oh God. You break every chain. You break every fetter. You break every bondage. You take away every scar from this people's hearts and lives, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we can receive others in love and peace. We praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just give God right now a hand clap of praise. Just thank him in the praise and the clap. Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God. May it come to pass. May it come to pass, oh God. Thank you, Jesus.